Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. I'd be really interested to hear from baseball fans at 800-795-9565. Because, obviously, we have mostly Philly fans in our area. Some Pirate fans, and the Pirates clinched their playoff spot last night. Now a question of whether or not they're the division champion or in the wild card game. I think it's one thing for how Yankee fans look at Derek Jeter. Question is, how do baseball fans in general look at him? I know everybody's going to look at him and say, hey, look, they respect him and they think he's a great player. Legitimate. I think everybody respects him. And I think, you know, I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. Right? I respect him, and I can tell you right now, he is a great player. Now, is he the greatest player?
Best ever?
No. No, best ever? No. Of course not. But do you feel like he's being portrayed as the best ever? And I think that's the problem that Keith Olbermann has. I mean, for my taste, and you have to do whatever you think is what your personal taste is. All the war numbers, I just sat there and went, yeah, whoop-de-doo, I could care less about those. The war numbers to me are irrelevant numbers that carry virtually no meaning to me. Okay, I've got two eyes. I can see whom I think is good and whom I think is not. Okay, I don't need to sit there and have a number go, yeah, hey, we're going to get 18 more wins above replacement. Really? And I would hope so. That guy was in AAA.
Well, all right. How do you compare, then, one player from one era to another player from another era, then? I mean, what's the guideline for that?
I don't. I don't sit there and compare one player from another if I haven't seen them. I mean, there's certain things that I look at. I mean, when I talk about Babe Ruth pitched. Babe Ruth went 29 and two-thirds scoreless innings in the World Series and for 33 years held the record while at the same time holding the World Series home run record. That seems interesting. But my feeling is this. Babe Ruth could have played today and would have been a great player. Derek Jeter could have played back in the 20s and 30s and would have been a great player. Had he been allowed to play, by the way. So, I mean, to me, Don Hudson. Kevin's asking who Don Hudson is.
Isn't he the one that has the river named after him?
Oh, boy. Don Hudson would be a great receiver today. Just like Jerry Rice would have been a great receiver back in Don Hudson's era. By the way, Jerry broke Don Hudson's touchdown catch record.
Never saw him play.
Never saw. Only saw Don Hudson on tape. And Don Hudson on tape was impressive to watch on tape. But I think anybody, you know, Jim Brown was a great running back in the 50s and 60s. Jim Brown would be a great running back today. Hey, Bobby Orr would have been great in the 20s. He'd have been great today. Gretzky would have been great in any era. Gordie Howe would be great today. Larry Bird would be a great player now. Tim Duncan would have been a great player in the 50s and 60s. I think when you're great, you just have a natural skill base that allows you to excel. I just think that I mean, certain things are relative, but I think... And Derek Jeter could play in any year. He's a great player. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay? Is he the greatest player ever? No. Is he the greatest shortstop ever? No. Is he the greatest Yankee ever? No. But he's a great player.
There's
everywhere he went, everywhere he went, people gave him gifts. But, you know, like I said, I'd be sitting back saying, okay, you probably would feel guilted and while everybody else is doing it, we better do something. But I don't get the tour part. I mean, it's not something that he orchestrated. By the way, $16,000 worth of gifts. The IRS says he's going to have to pay taxes on it, which is not an issue for him. But I don't understand why you have to pay taxes on a gift. A gift is a gift.
There's one number, Steve, though, that I keep looking at that I think has a lot to do with what we hear about Derek Jeter and what the way people feel about Derek Jeter, especially Yankee fans. And that's 2,743. That's the number of regular season games he's played.
Nobody cares about that.
But nobody cares. Every nobody one of cares them about... was a Yankee. I disagree with you. Every one of them was a Yankee. He had, listen, how many Yankee players currently have been on the roster as long as Derek Jeter has? That's why he's the biggest seller. That's why he's a big selling jersey.
Yeah, but so is Posada. Posada played every game with the Yankees. Rivera played every game with the Yankees.
But I'm not saying you're wrong.
Did Posada and Rivera play every game with the Yankees?
I am not disagreeing with you a bit.
You can't, because they did.
But I'm saying when you look at that number, and you look at guys that fall into that category, you have Carl Yastrzemski, Stan Musial, Cal Ripken, Brooks Robinson. Those are the guys in that number, in that land. Biggio, Yount.
Okay, I mean, that's nice, but...
But that I'm saying that's why I think he's so liked in New York. He's been there forever, and that's all the only place he's ever been.
Yeah, I'm not talking about New York. I'm talking about the country at large.
Oh, no, I'm just really talking about New York.
I don't really care about how beloved he is in New York. It's what's interesting is that, you know, everywhere he's gone, he's received appreciation everywhere, and he's been receiving gifts everywhere. Now, the part about them wearing the number on the cap, on the sleeve...
That's awkward.
I'm with Keith Olbermann. That's creepy. But, no, he should be beloved in New York. Just like when David Ortiz retires in Boston, he should be beloved. Just like when Mike Schmidt retired in Philadelphia, he was beloved. You know? Just like when James Harrison... Oh, that's right. He unretired.
He came back.
Yeah, he came back. I mean, was John Unitas less beloved in Baltimore because he played the last year with San Diego? You appear confused. You didn't know John Unitas played with San Diego, did you?
Yes, I did. I did not know it. I did not. You could have. When you said it, I remembered it, but I would not have remembered it before then.
But was he less beloved in Baltimore? Was he?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I never saw him play.
I did. Oh, I did. And he was beloved beyond words in Baltimore 20, 30 years later. Dave in Sunbury.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave.
Well, I had to call in when you were saying about Derek Jeter, and then you got on that conversation about Cal Ripken. Well... When he was coming through his draft, the Dodgers really wanted Derek Jeter. And I kind of still rooted for him even when he went to the Yankees. Same with Cal Ripken. Yep. You can be a fan of somebody with another team, even though you're still rooting for your team.
Sure. I mean, I have great respect for Derek Jeter. Like I said, every time he faced my team, and it's Kevin, you're going to have to get rid of the echo. You know, a great fan of my team. I mean, a diehard Red Sox fan. The guy worried me every time he was up, and I have tremendous respect for him as a player. Do I think he's one of the great players of all time? Of course I do. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is he the greatest player since sliced bread? No. Okay, but he's a great, great player that I have great respect and appreciation for. In the 2004 World Series film, that's the one where the Red Sox come back and they beat the Yankees and then beat the Cardinals in 2004.
Yeah.
Dennis Leary is the narrator. And the Red Sox are down 3-1. And Pedro Martinez is pitching. And the Yankees have the bases loaded. And the Red Sox have, I think, a 2-0 lead. And there's a line where Dennis Leary says, and then Derek Jeter was, well, Derek Jeter. To me, that says it all right there. And, of course, Jeter doubled and 3 runs scored. They took the lead. The Red Sox eventually won, but still.
He held up his end of the bargain.
You're right. He did his part. And, as usual, the hit was to the opposite field, down the right field line in the corner. And it was, and Dennis Leary's line was simple. Just, and then Derek Jeter was
Derek Jeter. Well, yep. Being with Derek Jeter and one other thing, somebody asked me 2 years ago if I had a choice between Derek Jeter or Alex Rodriguez. I said, oh, that's a no-brainer.
You're asking me a silly question
like that. Yeah. I said, man, A-Rod don't even make the first cut.
But I'll tell you, Dave, say, for example, Alex Rodriguez did not take performance-enhancing drugs or is not accused of it, okay? You're talking about a natural talent beyond words of size, range, arm, run bases, and power that very few players in the game possess, let alone shortstops. But because of his obviously tainted career, you can't even put him in the conversation.
Yeah. Alex Rodriguez had, like, Ted Bullion's ability.
Well, great power, range at shortstop, excellent arm, outstanding base stealer, ran the base as well, and of course his power. I mean, I remember a couple years ago I was talking to the State College Spikes players, and they were down in extended spring training, and this is when A-Rod was rehabbing from the hip surgery, and they said, They faced him, and they said the one thing that struck them is how large a man he is. They said he is huge. And but if you had a choice between Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, you're going to pick Derek Jeter every single time, in part because he's not accused of anything except playing hard and winning.
Yep, you got it. I'll hang up and listen. And like I said, Steve, like I said, I call in because I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it very much. It means a lot. Kevin's big number is games played.
No, it's games played in the same uniform. That's the point I was trying to make. That doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. Kevin, that's a nice sideline. I mean, but...
Well, do I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame because of it? No, I'm just saying that's a number that I like.
Yeah, but you got to remember, why was he able to stay in the same uniform? Because the Yankees paid him enough money to stay in the same uniform all the time.
Very true.
All right, let's keep it, you know. I mean, there's certain reasons for certain things. If suddenly the Yankees are looking around and say, hey, look, you know, we're going to offer you an $8 million contract. Do you think for the love of the game, Derek Jeter's staying in New York? Or do you think he's taking the $15 million deal in Texas?
No, it's like I said, that number in the all but about 50 games that he played as a shortstop, which I think the other games he played as a DH.
Right, yeah, he never played another position. But at the same time, the last 3 years, did he hurt his team by being the shortstop?
I don't know. I didn't see enough to make a judgment.
I mean, I'm talking about pure range, ability to get to a ball. Omar Vizquel, Ozzie Smith, whatever.
Yeah,
Is Ozzie Smith less a player to you because he started his career with San Diego?
No. If you have my list of shortstops, he would be at the top of it. But the problem is, I saw him play. So it's hard for me to judge guys that played before that because I didn't see him. I didn't see them play. Well,
you saw Jeter play.
No, I'm saying it's hard for me to judge guys that played shortstop before.
No, I know,
Ozzie
but
Smith.
You're talking about your era. But Ozzie Smith didn't play his entire career with St. Louis. He played the first few years of his career with San Diego, and then they traded him for Gary Templeton.
See, I only remember the St. Louis years.
But I'm saying, you say the big thing is the guy played in all-in-one uniform.
Yes. I mean, I'm not... You make it sound like I'm saying that's the only thing I like about him.
Is Ozzie Smith less beloved in St. Louis because they acquired him in a trade from San Diego?
No, I'm not saying that.
Is David Ortiz less beloved in Boston because his first few years were with Minnesota and they signed him as a free agent?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying, when you look at the guys that have played around 3,000 games and played all
Chipper
with the
Jones.
Same team, there's not many.
Chipper Jones. See, now Chipper Jones did all of what you're just talking about. Did he get a farewell tour in baseball?
Not that I can recall.
Now, Chipper Jones is a heck of a player. Right?
Yes.
I think. Yes. I think Chipper Jones is a heck of a player. We'll talk about that in a moment as we can come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every price on every new Kia has been reduced
and retagged
to the lowest prices of the year. Fall for a new Kia at Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% APR financing.
Yes, zero.
For up to 60 months on all remaining 2014 Optima and Optima Hybrids. The iconic 2014 Kia Soul starts at an incredible $14,769. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2014 Rio's clearance price starting at $14,951. The 5-star safety rated 2015 Forte LX as low as $16,865. And 2015 Serenos starting at $22,456. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or sunburymotors.com
and fall for your new Kia today.
Tax and tax extra. Must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing to well-qualified customers through KMF.
All right, let's have a little fun here. And this is just for fun. But Chipper Jones retired in 2012. Now, did Chipper Jones, outside of what they did in Atlanta, get a farewell tour?
I wouldn't have given him one because I was a Phillies fan and he used to damage
Phillies. No, I'm just saying, but he didn't. All right? Derek Jeter has played in, 250 more games than Chipper Jones. So let's go through it. Okay? Hits, obviously, Jeter has more, 3,461. That's among the pantheon. All right? And averaging 204 hits a year, that's amazing. Chipper Jones had 2,726, not a bad number. And he averaged 177 hits a year. Okay? Doubles. Jeter with 543. Chipper Jones played in 250 fewer games. Has six more doubles in his career than Derek Jeter. He averaged 36 a year. Jeter averages 32. Okay, obviously, Jeter's going to have more triples because I think Chipper only had 38 and Jeter has 66. Jeter has 260 home runs. In fact, his 3,000th hit was a home run. Chipper has 468 home runs, averaged 30 a year. Okay? 1,623 RBIs as opposed to 1,307. Now, Jeter hit in the number two spot in the order. Chipper, of course, hit lower in the order. Jeter with 358 stolen bases. Chipper with 150. All right? Jeter was also caught 97 times, and Chipper was caught 46 times. But he had more stolen base attempts. Batting average. Okay? Jeter's career batting average, an outstanding 310. Chipper Jones, 303. Slugging percentage, Chipper Jones, 529. Jeter, 440. All right. Chipper left the game as a respected player that those in Atlanta loved and adored. Seasons. Derek Jeter, loved and respected by all as well, but he's getting the farewell tour that a guy like Chipper Jones, who in a lot of ways has comparable or better numbers in his in a comparable career. Oh, and by the way, Kevin, all with the same team.
Good. Actually, I wish he wouldn't have been with the same team. I was tired of seeing him.
But I'm just saying, he's getting treated differently than somebody else who are comparable or better.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Having a little fun with Derek Jeter's career, which has been a great career, and the Keith Olbermann commentary from last night. Keith did a lot of talking about war and numbers like that in the second half of his commentary, which that part lost me a little bit in terms of the interest in it, because the war thing I have no interest in at all.
Well, I think he did that because so many people base so much on sabermetrics
somebody
now.
Who?
Fans. Listen, you don't see a single stat that is not in sabermetrics.
See, I think you're wrong about that. Okay, I think it's sabermetrics has done a great job of engaging more fans in the game because they love the statistical part of it, but not so many fans. You want to go second know it?
That know the number or know what it is?
Both. Most fans go to the games because they love going to games.
So you're saying the game is still people quote sabermetrics to make themselves feel smarter.
No, I think those who are highly engaged fans, highly engaged, love the sabermetrics thing. Most fans are casual fans. Okay? You go to Pittsburgh right now, they love their Pirates, okay? You can flush half of them down the drain if they go back to the last place again.
I don't know. I just think that it has become the mathematician's standard now for evaluating one player over another player. Now, maybe part of that is the movie.
Who? Buster Olney, Tim Kirkjian, you, what? Okay, who? No, I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious here. The vast majority of fans do not care about wins above replacement. They're smart enough to look and go, geez, Cabrera's really good. They look at Mike Trout and go, wow, Mike Trout can really play. Look at how he hustles, he hits, he runs. That's what fans see. Okay? You can go, okay, let's take 100 fans in a section. Okay? I'll revise it. I'll bet 10 to 12 know something about the sabermetrics of war as to who the wins are above replacement. The other 88 are like, hey, boy, the Phillies are playing great. You know, I'm a big fan of X, Y, Z, whatever. Well, you know what their WAR number is? I have no idea. I know he's hitting 282.
So Billy Beane was just a freak of nature?
It has nothing to do with that. That's how he runs his club in order to build a club together. That's not a fan. That's a guy trying to come up with a method to determine how he can get inexpensive talent that actually fits how he does things.
Okay, but
that's different. That's a business model. That's not a fan's model. That's a business model where he looks at certain things such as, you know, he referred to Kevin Youkilis as the Greek god of walks.
Right.
Okay, because he knows the value of on-base percentage. In a contract negotiation, on-base percentage doesn't fly. The guy wants to walk in there and tell you, look, I hit 310. They're not going to quote your on-base percentage. I think sabermetrics is great because it has engaged more people in the game, just like fantasy baseball has engaged more people in the game. I don't care how you get engaged in the game. I'm just glad you're engaged in the game. See my point? I don't care if you're there because you love sabermetrics. I don't care if you're there because you love fantasy baseball, or you're there because you just love the team or you love the game. I'm just glad you're there. I'm thrilled you're there.
I just think there's more than evaluating player on just his average. That's all I'm saying. Or home runs.
I can look at a guy and tell. I can look at a guy and tell if he's a player or not. I've seen enough baseball.
Okay, but that's you. Now this is where you have to understand the difference. Not all of us have your eye for baseball.
I understand that, but I don't need a statistical thing to have told me that Alan Craig had a chance to be in the major leagues.
I did.
I watched the guy every day for a year here. And I thought, you know what? This guy's going to move up in the organization. Okay? I don't need to have a statistical thing to tell me Tony Watson can move up in the organization. I didn't say the major leagues. I'm very cautious about that because there are bumps on the road in any career as you work your way through the minors. But you could tell Tony Watson was going to move up and out. Okay? You could tell he was going to make his way through the organization. Now, where that bump in the road was going to be for him, I didn't know. But you could tell. You could tell a guy can play.
Okay, you're a big fan of when the money's on the table, all right? Sometimes that means postseason. Sometimes that means in the clutch.
Right. Now, okay. You can't use that, for example, with an Ernie Banks or somebody like that. Okay. He never played in postseason. But to me, when you're doing the apples and oranges, when you're now parsing, so you got to remember how I do this. When I'm parsing between a couple of great players, money on the table tells me which guy I want to go with.
See, this is where I think the lips comes in and becomes very effective. Late inning pressure situations.
Oh, for goodness sakes, I can sit there and watch if the guy comes through or not.
I knew you were going to diss that one.
But I could care less about that. Okay, I want to know, for example, okay, Derek Jeter hit 200 in the American League Championship Series against the Red Sox in 2004. You know that? He hit 200. Yeah, with the bases loaded and his team with a chance to clinch, he hit his only extra base hit was at that moment. Now, they lost the game. All right? And not everybody's perfect in that moment. I mean, Mariano Rivera, as great as he was in his career, gave up the walk to Kevin Millar, gave up the stolen base to Dave Roberts, gave up the base hit to Bill Miller, and the Yankees didn't clinch. He gave up the game, the World Series winning hit to Luis Gonzalez. Not a rocket by any stretch of the imagination. Barely cleared second base against DeGrom in infield, but he still gave it up. Does that mean he's not the greatest relief pitcher of all time? In my opinion, he is the greatest closer of all time, because when you hand him the ball, you felt like, for the most part, the game was over.
Okay, what's the most important thing if you're playing baseball? Getting runs, correct? What about the baseball statistic, runs created?
Scoring or preventing them?
See, that's where I like runs created.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at somebody and go, yep.
I give.
But it doesn't. I'm sorry. Right. Do I need stats to see Derek Jeter grab a ball and throw it to home plate against Oakland to cut down Giambi in a playoff game? To figure out that when everybody else's head's spinning around, he's the coolest cat in the field?
But what if you're evaluating thousands of players?
Okay, that's why I have scouts. And I want to see, and this is where teams are making big mistakes now. More and more teams are pulling scouts off, because I've talked to scouts about this. I need to have eyes out there looking at people. I need the look test. You know, tells me what kind of range he has. Tells me how he runs a bag. Does he cut a bag when he runs? Does he round it off? Cost himself a couple of steps. Maybe not get the extra base because of it. Okay? When you are pitching to him, all right, and he is just wheelhouse, 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 how does he adjust when suddenly they pitch him a different way? I'm sorry, this doesn't fit into your war thing. I know it's like observation. Right, it's kind of a weird thing about sports. Like I watch sports.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Who has time to watch 3,000 players?
Scouts.
Well, then you have to. You still have to. All right, I give up.
And baseball is getting away from scouts. I've talked to enough of them. They've told me
that's where some teams are
cutting back.
Yeah, there's a problem.
Okay,
there.
For example, okay, I watch a wide receiver. All right. Okay, what made Allen Robinson an excellent wide receiver as opposed to the freshman year of Bill Belton? And why Bill Belton ended up going to tailback. Because when you watch, okay, these are two guys of comparable speed, believe it or not. Maybe Robinson's a step better. Right? Robinson's bigger, okay.
Catching
ability. Robinson's like a 6'2". No, they can both catch. They can both catch. But the precision with which Robinson runs his routes, I need a cut, he goes me, and he gives me a hard cut. Belton, when he was a freshman, and this was all part of the learning curve, I'd watch him run routes. He'd round routes off. Do you know how exponentially easier you become when you round off a route?
You're right. Without that good hard jab step to freeze the corner or the linebacker,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Defender.
Okay. I don't need sabermetrics to tell me which one's the better receiver. I can see it for myself. I don't need war to tell me, I mean, comparing one player to the other. I mean, okay, let's go back to Mike Trout and Miguel Cabrera, okay? Cabrera won the Triple Crown, right, in the thick of everything Detroit's doing. Mike Trout's in the thick of everything the Angels are doing. I don't care what Trout's wins above replacement happen to be, because guess what? They finished under 500. So instead of finishing 10 games under 500, without him, they would have finished 20.
How about wins? How about wins in replacement?
Do?
How about wins? Wins against replacement for winning teams? Then does that matter?
I mean, but I'm saying though, the reason Cabrera easily gets my vote for MVP 2 years ago is he won the Triple Crown and it helped lead his team to the playoffs. Okay, I don't care about wins above replacement. Okay, if Trout, he had a much better wins above replacement. That's great. So instead of 10 games over 500, under 500, there would have been 20. Really? Wow, I'm impressed.
So let's bring this all the way around to where this started when we got into this discussion. Where does Jeter fit in Yankee history?
He's one of the great players, but he's not the greatest player. I mean, in the Yankees' history of the New York Yankees, just the Yankees, right? You're talking about Babe Ruth, Bob Musel, Lou Gehrig, okay? Tony Lazzari, Red Ruffing, Wade Hoyt, Joe DiMaggio, right? Yogi Berra, Allie Reynolds, Whitey Ford, Mickey Mantle, even Don Mattingly, who didn't play on great teams, right? Greg Nettles, Chris Chambliss, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit, Reggie Jackson.
Okay, let me change the question.
Okay,
now.
Okay, Bill Dickey, Mariano Rivera, Paul O'Neill.
I understand what you're saying, but let me change the question
Yankees,
though.
When the Yankees won the World Series, how important was Tino Martinez? Incredibly important.
Then can you evaluate who the best Yankee is ever with an eyeball test?
Kevin, I never do best ever for anybody.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
I've never done a best ever for anybody in my life because we're at a point where there's so many players and so many coaches to do a best ever.
To me, I
do it. Who's among the best ever? Well, he's among the best ever Yankees. He's among the best ever players. I mean, even in this particular era, I mean, there have been players that have had greater comparable careers. Chipper Jones had himself a great career with the, Mike Schmidt. If you ask me who I'd have, Mike Schmidt or Derek Jeter, if I had to choose between the two in a very difficult choice, I would easily pick Mike Schmidt.
Why?
Awesome fielding third baseman, tremendous power, delivered in the clutch. Okay? And once he finally found the groove in his career, and it took a little while for him to find the groove in his career, once he found the groove in his career, he was the kind of player that everybody stopped to watch see play. And he was great in the postseason when he had his opportunities.
But
he hit with much more power than Jeter. He drove in more runs. He's a different player, but he also is a much better fielder than Jeter.
But see, these are the questions, though. These are the questions that people that love the sport love to ask, and they love to rank players because it's a conversation starter. You can have an argument, and I don't think anybody's right or wrong. It is based on your opinion and based on whatever you feel is the criteria. That's the point I'm trying to make. If you're a sabermetrics person, that's your basis. If you're not, then that's your basis.
But here's your problem with that. You're almost always wrong. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every price on every new Kia has been reduced
and retagged
to the lowest prices of the year. Fall for a new Kia at Sunbury Motors Kia with 0% APR financing.
Yes, zero.
For up to 60 months on all remaining 2014 Optima and Optima Hybrids. The iconic 2014 Kia Soul starts at an incredible $14,769. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2014 Rio's clearance price starting at $14,951. The 5-star safety rated 2015 Forte LX as low as $16,865. And 2015 Serenos starting at $22,456. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Or sunburymotors.com.
And fall for your new Kia today.
Tax and tax extra. Must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. Special financing to well-qualified customers through KMF.
Don't forget to tune in Friday night when Shiklemy's back in action, and Kevin will use sabermetrics to figure out if they're any good.
After last week, I had to redo everything because the offensive numbers the last 2 weeks have been significantly higher on the throwing side.
Someone asked a question online about how much better the Nittany Lions would be with Allen Robinson. And look, I mean, obviously if you have a great player like that, it's going to help. I mean, there's no question about that.
You know, there's been one question I hear talked about week in and week out, and Coach Franklin's addressed it as well, and that has been the offensive line. You can't create an offensive line. You can only work to get better and more experienced. I mean, is there anything more you can do?
Nope. Just got to keep going out there because, look, you only have so many guys on the team. You can't go out in the waiver wire and suddenly pick up somebody.
That's exactly my point, yes.
So you're going to have to, you know, this is what you have, this is who you have to work with, and you just have to work. The key is keeping them all healthy so they can get better together.
I think you get a question every Thursday night about that.
Right. And, I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, it's not like you can sit there and go, hey, look, USC just put a guy on the waiver wire. Maybe we can get him here. I mean, the only time that happens is when the NCAA allows you to go on campus and take other players. Oh,
that doesn't happen anymore.
It's the only waiver wire I've ever heard of in college sports. So, other than the SMU when they shut down the program, but I mean, that's you know.
But it's just time, more experience. I mean, all that plays into it.
Right. I mean, that's all you can do is just keep working with that group. Now, look at Penn State. I think Andrew Nelson and Brendan Mann, who, by the way, are two redshirt freshmen, they're going to do nothing, in my opinion, but get better. They're going to do nothing but get better. I think Derek Dowry and Brian Gaia, the more experience they get, because they've been defensive tackles in their careers here. I mean, they'll take some time. They'll get better. They just need to stay healthy and get better.
I know another thing, Penn State fans, I've talked to a lot of them over the last couple of weeks, and now that, you know, the scholarships will be back up where they belong, it'll be really, really interesting to see how well this coaching staff does at recruiting in, at least in the rankings of, like, rivals and sites like that. Now, I know you always take that with a grain of salt, and I agree with you, but it's kind of a fun thing to look at if you're a fan and compare to other teams. But, boy, what he did with the limited amount of stuff that he had last year, it just, if you're a Penn State fan, you've got to be more than optimistic about 2015's recruiting class.
Well, I mean, I think so, too, but, I mean, it's, you know.
But, yeah, it's like you always said, you can get a five-star player who doesn't turn out to be a five-star player when you get him in on the campus.
And one of the things that they do is that when they sit down, they look at a prospect as a staff. The offensive staff has to come to a consensus as to whether they think that's the guy for them. And that way they're all on the same page when they offer the player. So that's what they do. If it's a guy that they primarily consider to be a defensive player, they'll sit the defensive staff down. And they really all have to come to an agreement. And, you know, James Franklin has the final say. But that's how they do it. You know, they'll sit down as a staff on one side of the ball or another, and they need to come to a consensus on players as to which ones they think they should offer and not offer. That way they're all on the same page when it comes to talking with kids.
Derek Jeter, best ever?
Well, I wouldn't say no if he was on my team. How about that?
That's a fair statement. If he was a Philly, I'd probably like him even more.
If he was on my team, I'd be thrilled. Best ever or not, if he was on my team, I'd be thrilled. As a lifelong Red Sox fan, my respect for him is exponentially high.
By the way, Chipper Jones did get a better prize. He got a surfboard from the San Diego Padres in his retirement.
Mucho cool.